From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life.
I'm Pete Stoughton.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
Whether your mental or physical wellness brings you to the top of the highest peaks,
or you need a little help with the climb,
The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch. Longtime local resident and Utah Avalanche Center forecaster Craig Gordon joins us. In the light of the recent snow, we thought it would be an appropriate time to start talking about avalanches. Craig Gordon is one of the protagonists in the new book, Dragons in the Snow, Avalanche Detectives and the Race to Beat Death in the Mountains. He is joined by Edward Power, the author of the book, and we will not spend much more time talking about it because we're so excited to talk to them. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Nice to be here.
Yeah, good morning. How's everybody doing today?
Oh, it's so good to hear your lovely voices, and that just means we're getting ready for an amazing winter season, and we're going to make the best of that. But a lot of people have already invested in gear for the backcountry, and we saw an uptake of that. And this is a book that should definitely bring their attention to the avalanches around us. So we welcome you both. Edward, this is a beautifully written book, and I really enjoyed just diving into it. What brought your attention to avalanches and Mr. Gordon?
Well, thanks very much. I'm glad you enjoyed the book. I live up in the Ogden Valley by Snow Basin and Powder Mountain, and my wife and I are skiers, and we actually built a home here about 17 years ago, but we didn't move here until January 2016. And because it was the first time we had season passes to a ski area and really were going up into the mountains, if not every day, a lot more than we ever had, I was struck in those early weeks by how much avalanche bombing was going up in the mountains there at Snow Basin, particularly because those echoes from the bombing would just come right across the valley toward our house, and I could hear them behind me up in my backyard at Powder Mountain as well. And it got me thinking about who are the people doing this work and what are the techniques and what do I need to know about this? And so I have a 35-year career in the media business as a writer and editor, and I decided to take an avalanche awareness course, and Craig was teaching it. And anyone who knows Craig knows he's sort of a larger-than-life guy.
Oh, yes.
As a journalist, I was struck by that right away. And so we kind of hit it off, and I told him about my background, and I said, you know, I'd be interested in talking to you about maybe doing some writing around what you do for a living. And it led to the book.
Well, I can certainly agree that if you were to pick a protagonist in the avalanche industry here in Utah, you chose wisely, and in your book, you describe him strikingly. You say he has a striking presence. He's as lean as a leopard and equally muscular, his arms and legs bearing muscles that are more extruded than bunched. And it keeps going on, and I could have read that all day knowing Craig, and if you've ever met him, you know how true that is. What made Craig your interest in, and you are a pretty humble guy, but you enjoy being, you know, in front of a crowd. What made your interest in being a part of this book?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Pete. I do enjoy crowds. I do enjoy people. You know, I definitely like shaking babies and kissing hands, or however that rolls. But you know, what really interested me is that it was really Ed's presence, and we kind of made this soul surfer connection. And Ed was not only a journalist in a former life, but he is still a surfer, and you know, paddles out in the ocean and goes to Mexico and goes on these really awesome trips. And I was like, yeah, this is a guy who totally gets what we do and gets it from the aspect of there are so many people in this industry and in this in this lifestyle and this community giving that are all about giving back to their profession and giving back to their community, and as such help to save lives. So, you know, it kind of came full circle, and the interest was there right out of the gates, because I felt like I really connected with somebody in Ed who wanted to show the people and the characters and kind of all of this skin in the game, you know, that we have as avalanche professionals, as guides, as just high-end backcountry recreationists. And I think he brings that to the book. He weaves some beautiful stories into it. And, you know, even my 85-year-old mom, who is, you know, a couple degrees of separation from snow and avalanches, but definitely gets the community, she's like, you know, I don't quite understand what you do, but, man, reading through Dragons in the Snow, Ed Power makes me feel like I'm right there with you guys on the snow. So I really think he captured the essence of that and then in turn captured the soul.
That's nice. Thanks for that, Craig. Ed, I'm wondering who some of your other protagonists are in the story, and what can you tell us about them and why you chose them particularly?
Well, some people I had some knowledge of, like Andrew McLean, who's kind of these days is a dean of the backcountry skiers and very well known around the world. So I had knowledge of some of these people. But Craig introduced me to a number of them. Titus Case, who oversaw avalanche mitigation at Alta Ski Area for many, many years. I went over and spent some time with Titus, and he took me out onto the mountain there and explained to me what they do and pointed out some of the things that they have to do to make sure that the skiers who come there for the day or, you know, every day don't get caught in avalanches. Shannon Finch, who is a backcountry ski guide at Park City Powder Cats, really terrific young woman who I spent some time with, including a day in Thousand Peaks Ranch, which is the terrain that Park City Powder Cats covers. So spent a day with her skiing in the backcountry. And, you know, it really was about the people. Certainly I tell stories in the book about avalanche accidents and rescues and including deaths. But the people were just so amazing, and they were so open to the idea. Once they, you know, had a chance to understand what I was trying to do, they were very open to it and could not have been more helpful. So it was a great experience for me. Beyond the writing part and the reporting part, it was just a great personal experience for me.
Yeah, I bet you got in some great powder days while you were at it.
I'm not gonna deny it.
Exactly. Well, as they say, water always wins, and snow is, you know, frozen water. And there are so many things that we don't really understand, and I think that for many people, the more they understand about avalanche, the more scared they are and the more respectful they are. Going through this research, Ed, I'm wondering what kind of effect that had on you.
Yeah, well, you're certainly right that it's a complicated science, and I delve into that in the book. I mean, there's a number of people who work in the scientific side of this that I talk about, and I think the reader can learn things from. I get into the science of snow formation, which is a piece of this picture, because it isn't always perfect, as you well know. If you're skiers, that, you know, it may look perfect, but once you get on it, sometimes it doesn't feel perfect. You know, I think that there's this, you know, one of the things that I learned is sort of a law of the lives that Craig and his colleagues lead at the Utah Avalanche Center is that there's always this 1% of unknowability. You can be an expert. Truly, you could have spent, you know, a lot of time in the backcountry. You could be an avalanche level 2 or 3, even in terms of the education side of it and the training side of it. But there's always that 1% that just, you can be out there thinking that you know everything there is to know about it and get caught. Craig's former boss, a guy named Bruce Tremper, who wrote a definitive book about techniques in the backcountry, says the Avalanche doesn't know you're an expert. And that's so true.
Well, and what I love so much about your book, and many of us here in this region have spent a lot of time delving into a lot of the literature, reading the more informative texts, and you took an interesting take at that it was much more of a narrative, and we really got to know the people. And so while you know, we may look at Dragons in the Snow and look at it as like an informative, like I'm going to learn about the dragons in the snow, I think you really bring out the human factor as one of the elements of the dragon in the snow. Talk a little bit about that.
That is spot on, because I was a staff writer as part of my career. I was a staff writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer and covered assignments all over the Caribbean, Central America, Asia. And my goal as a newspaper writer was always to bring the human side of the story very much front and center, not just the news, which of course is always important if you're covering something for a newspaper, but in this particular case, I mean, I felt like, you know, Bruce Tremper's book, Staying Alive in Avalanche Terrain, and some of the others that have been written, which are so much, you know, books of expertise about techniques and how to. I didn't have the background to do something like that. That wasn't my goal. My goal was to do a book, as you say, that had a narrative, sort of a cadence to it, that both explained some of the science and the snow science and what avalanche mitigation techniques are like. But I really wanted to tell stories about the people and follow narrative threads about, you know, frankly, accidents that had happened and rescues that had happened. And, you know, I hope that when readers read the book, they learn the lessons in the book on their own. I've never tried to be put forth some sort of a notion of, well, I've learned something here and I'm going to tell you where the lesson is here. That wasn't my goal. My goal was to tell the story and let the reader decide what went wrong here. And hopefully I achieved that.
Well, I certainly think you, again, chose a perfect protagonist in this story with Craig. And if many of us who are listening have spent time listening to Craig at a Know Before You Go or an Avy One course or anything that has to do with the Utah Avalanche Center, and you walk out, Craig, always feeling like you know Craig Gordon, as if for some reason you may be, you know, in the back row of a 1,000-person audience, and you're like, wow, Craig knows me, and he knows how I think. And what's so excellent about this book is even I, who've known you for 15 years, got to know more about you. And I think the descriptor as an avalanche detective, it opened up my eyes to a little bit of your persona as an avalanche detective and a forensic avalanche analysis. Other than going backwards and saying, hey, I could have been a detective, talk a little bit about that descriptor. You know, how are you an avalanche detective?
Yeah, you know, that's a great way to kind of wrap our arms around the whole thing. And I got to tell you something, Pete, you totally warmed my heart with your kind words, man. That means so much to me, because I think part of the beauty of our community is recognizing each individual that adds so much to this collective community. And you know, there are certainly people that stand out in it, and as Ed mentioned, I mean, Bruce Tremper, who was my mentor in so many respects. I always felt that when I was a young ski patrolman or just getting into the avalanche business, listening to him, I felt the same way. So, man, that so warms my heart, and that's really a beautiful thing that we have such an amazing community here. And then kind of coming back a little bit more towards the emphasis of your question is that, the avalanche detective thing, it is just fascinating. So the way you learn about avalanches is to go look at avalanches. And in particular with that, the way you learn about avalanches and the way people move around in avalanche terrain is to go investigate avalanche accidents. And through the course of my career and 30 plus years of doing this and 20 with the Avalanche Center, man, you learn so much about the dynamics and the mechanics of snow when you go and you look at an avalanche accident. And oftentimes we're armed with, you know, a little bit of information and just like, you know, CSI, you're rolling into the scene. It's post-accident. There is always a kind of an unusual aura, an unusual energy as you go into the scene of a recently triggered avalanche or an avalanche accident. I mean, there is a total energy, and you can feel it in the snow. You can feel it in the terrain and the spirit of the mountains. And like I said, oftentimes you're equipped with a little bit of information and you kind of, you know, piece the puzzles of the accident together. But what you do during that time is figure out where people were, maybe what their discussions were leading into this, how they moved around in the mountains. And then you also get to observe and you get to also digest how avalanches react to our weight. And like Ed said, you know, in so many avalanche accidents, we perceive ourselves as the expert and we've got this dialed in. But unfortunately, avalanches don't know that. So kind of looking at the big picture, it's one thing to look at snow and to study it and be very technical with it. But man, the way you learn about all of this is a boots on the ground. Whether you're out there skiing it or ripping around and having a blast on a low danger day in the mountains and, you know, really nailing a good call, or you're doing this professionally and you're a little bit more in tune with the nuances, the things that are super glaring right in your face, and maybe those subtle types of things as well. And then, you know, even there, though there's lots of great aspects to this job and we get to save a lot of lives, kind of the sad part and the part that, that is really hard to digest a lot of times is going to look at an avalanche accident and putting all of those pieces together. But again, going back to my mentor, Bruce Tremper, and what he said, yeah, the way you learn about avalanches is to go look at avalanches.
Well, thank you, Edward Power, author of Dragons in the Snow. Craig Gordon, the protagonist of not only this story, Dragons in the Snow, but of much of what has to do here in the Wasatch Back with avalanches and our own safety, a character in our community who everyone should get to know. I would strongly encourage you to check out the book, Dragons in the Snow, Avalanche Detectives and the Race to Beat Death in the Mountains. We are looking forward to an amazing ski season, and Craig, I look forward to seeing more of your zipper lines at numerous locations around this Wasatch Back. Thank you so much for taking time to speak with us, and we look forward to seeing you out in the snow. Thank you, guys.
Oh, you bet, you guys. Thank you.
Thanks,
guys. We're truly blessed and appreciate all the support.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Mountain Life.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe, rate us, and leave us a comment.
If you have an idea for a future show, email us at mountainlife@kpcw.org.
We hope you'll bring your green smoothie and join us next week for The Mountain Life.